Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. It is Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Joe Beamer with you for 53 more minutes. And then we will take it to Meet the Press. And then the best of Mark Levin after that, right here on WBEN. But right now, we are talking to Niagara Falls Superintendent Mark Laurie. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, and how are you today?
Mark, I'm doing well. How are you on this, what is turning out to just be a beautiful Sunday morning?
After this, we're headed to the Toronto Blue Jays, Houston Astros game, so it's a great day.
Very nice. Are you bringing a garbage can with you?
I feel like it, because that's what I think about the Astros. I'll leave it at home.
I'm glad we share that thought when it comes to the Houston Astros. Starting tomorrow, New York State is lifting the mask rule for schools. I believe it'll be a district by district things. How is this for Niagara Falls?
Well, we're still a little bit in the process, as we'd like to think of it. We want to see what the actual guidelines say. Now, Joe, in the past, the guidelines have always caused us to have a public hearing, get public input. This would be the first time that hasn't occurred since COVID started and the guidelines have come out. So once the guidelines come out, we will take a look at them, speak to our local county health director, who I believe will be on board with the guidelines, and then I will contact our Board of Education, and then I will make some type of announcement. I'm tending to think that we're going to use the guidelines as they're written, with allowances for no masks in certain situations. But we want to use caution. We want to acknowledge that there's 2 weeks left of school, and that we have been on a really great downhill trend with COVID positive cases. So the timing is curious, as you probably could imagine, and we can surmise maybe why that is, but it still remains to be seen what the actual document says in terms of what we can and can't do. And then I'll communicate this to the families and the parents and the kids and the principals, and we'll move forward.
All right, so before that becomes a thing, what is it like right now for kids and teachers inside the building?
We're a completely masked school district. We're at 3 feet. We're completely masked. It's 6 feet in the lunchrooms, gymnasiums, also in music rooms. So we have been enforcing that, and it's been a very easy enforcement. Our cooperation rate has been 100%. We've had no discipline issues around that expectation. Kids have really acclimated themselves to it. The weather is turning. 8 of our 11 buildings are air conditioned. That does make a difference in my thinking. But we're fully masked, and we have been since the beginning of the year without problem.
Man, air conditioning, I would have liked that 12 years ago.
Yeah, it's a just one of the other great things in Niagara Falls. By the end of the summer, however, we'll have 9 of 11 buildings, just our middle schools, which are very, very old buildings, or will be without air conditioning. But, it's a fact of the matter that school is now becoming a 11 or 12 month proposition. So we want to outfit our buildings in that way. And our board had the foresight to approve that capital project a while ago, and we're just about done.
What are end of the year activities looking like for students this year? Obviously, nothing happened last year. Are you seeing more? Are more of those events going forward this year?
Yeah, more of the events are going forward in a more traditional way, we'll say. And I do want to comment about the rules, though, before I tell you about the events. I can understand, and or I can surmise again why this change is coming, but I would have hoped simultaneously they would have looked at capacity sizes for some of these end of the year events. And I'll speak about it in a moment, if I may. We're having a graduation which will be outdoors. We have 450 graduates. We're allowing each graduate to have four tickets. That'll be on June 26th with a rain date the following day. We're having a senior mask extravaganza type prom slash post-prom celebration on the grounds of the school on the 18th of June. It's what the students in the senior class wanted. And next Saturday, we have a major parade in the city of Niagara Falls where our senior students parade through the city, going by every one of our schools. We're asking the community to come out and line the streets with their blue and gold, their horns and noisemakers, and to recognize our seniors. They'll conclude that with a food truck picnic at the end of that day. We have a senior awards night, too. But those are the events. They're getting very similar to what usually occurs. But again, we're still restricted, especially at graduation time, with a lot of additional responsibilities we have to do. And we have to put on 20 nurses just to test the students that aren't vaccinated. We have about 2.5 days of setup with chairs and outdoor staging just to make this happen. So it's a cost. It is, I think it's a little bit behind the times to keep the limits the way they are. And nonetheless, we're going to pull it off and we're going to do the right thing for our kids.
You mentioned testing. So these events that you mentioned, kids are getting tested before they go in?
Well, let me go through that. The class day parade certainly doesn't require anything, but the senior awards will be just for the students, and the parents will view it on simulcast because we have a 250-person limit in our performing arts center, and if we exceeded that limit, we would have had to test or have vaccinated people only. Our graduation is outdoors, so we have a 500-person limit, a 450-member graduating class, so any of the guests that come must be tested or show proof of vaccination, and we're testing our students that aren't vaccinated. So it's a bit of a lift. It's worth doing, but again, I would hope that simultaneously with this announcement that there'd be some consideration for raising those rates.
Is there still testing going on just an average school day?
Yeah, we test every Wednesday at our district. We use the BinX 15-minute test. We do it by appointment only. The county has given us a quantity of BinX tests. Our subscription to that test is very, very low. But as a service to our community, as a service to our students, we are going to keep it going through the end of June. And then, again, we'll conclude that all this year with graduation testing, but we were getting 50 people for testing on a Wednesday, we're down to a half dozen. So yeah, we do offer it on Wednesdays by appointment, and it's about a half a dozen people.
You know, it's so interesting. You talk about the limits still going on in this state, especially in schools. The prom event you're having is a masked event, and then I go on Instagram this morning and I see DJ Pauly D from Jersey Shore DJing a prom where the place is packed, there's no masks, kids are back to having fun, and then you hear all the stuff you guys have to go through just to get a somewhat normal event going on.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Joel. I watched the New York Knicks basketball game, 18,000 people in Madison Square Garden. Didn't see a mask. I watched the Belmont Stakes yesterday in New York State. Didn't see a mask. I'm just, the inconsistencies really confound us. That's why I'm calling for not only some relief where appropriate and we're safe with masks, but it's time to look at those restrictions. That would have been a priority for our district, at least, because of the size of it. Let's take a look at this. And as you say, in a neighboring state, it's just completely different. And I don't understand the inconsistency. I don't understand why the high regulation at this time. We have to leave those kind of decisions to local decision makers. We have a 9-person, very responsible board of education that would never do anything to put kids in harm's way. So it's curious, and at times, obviously, you can hear it in my voice, a bit frustrating.
Let me ask you about vaccination. So 12 and up have been cleared to get, I think, the Pfizer vaccine. Has the district been involved in any vaccination process?
Yeah, we have been and we are. We continue to be. You're correct. It's 12 and up. This Wednesday, we have a vaccination clinic at our elementary school, Abbott Elementary School. That's the 9th. It's from 9 to 3 o'clock. Johnson & Johnson is also given. And why I mention that is because if you haven't been vaccinated and you're a parent or guest that want to come to our graduation, it's the last chance you can get a vaccination before you have to be tested negatively to come. And on the 23rd, we're going to be at Niagara Street Elementary School for vaccinations. Again, 12 and up, same type of vaccination protocol. We have been encouraging people to go to our conference center, which was open and really accessible for vaccinations all along. I really feel that our staff has done a great job. We're close to 85%, and it's anecdotal when I give you that number, because I can tell you since February 26th, when the vaccinations became much more widely available, we've only had 6 staff cases of 1,208 individuals who work for us that have been COVID positive. So that's a real low rate. In the last 10 days for our whole district, 7,000 students, 1,208 staff, we've only had 2 cases. They were students at an elementary school. They were unrelated. So the rate is really super low. Many outside activities, many adults are getting vaccinated. We encourage more. And now I'm hearing from our high school students, at least, that they're getting vaccinated because they want to participate in summer events and they're getting ready for college. So the vaccination rate is never where anybody wants it to be, but it's certainly a lot better.
Speaking of the off season of school, the summer, are there any summer activities going on in the district that didn't happen last year?
We have 12 summer camps, credit recovery programs, and recreational programs going on in the district. They start June 28th. That's Monday, the day after graduation, literally. They'll go for between 20 and 30 days. Credit recovery for students in grades 7 through 12. We'll have an elementary in-person summer school beginning July 8th through August at 2 of our schools. These are all free programs. We have our summer recreation program that goes on after school. We're offering P-Tech eSports crew camp this summer. So we're trying to bring back as much, if not more, than we had. We know kids need this. We know this is a ramp up to September, which is a whole nother topic we could spend time talking about. But we want to get kids ready now for September, even though it's not the full blown on, 6 or 7 hour day of school. So it's exciting. It's a way to ramp back into re-energizing our next school year. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for kids and families to get involved.
Well, my next question is going to be, Mark, I ask you this every time because it always, stuff always changes. What does it look like school's going to be in September? I should reword that. What is school going to look like when students come back in September?
And I wish we had had that guidance tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you that we're going full force 5 days a week in person, mask or no mask. The mask issue isn't a real big one, especially when you're 3 feet. 3 feet is just about what personal space should be anyways. So we're coming back full, and we're making all those plans around that. What we're really waiting on, Joel, what is really critical and what has been already stated in places like New Jersey is remote learning or no remote learning. We are in full support of not giving a remote learning option. And let me just briefly tell you, kids need to be back in school. We have outlets for those medically fragile students already, and we could make remote learning an option and a special circumstance for remote learning. But what we're seeing, especially at the high school level, and this ties into your conversation with Assemblyman Morinello, we're seeing that jobs are available to high school students paying $16 to $18 an hour, and they are asking for the remote option because they can make a really good amount of money with a job. Employers need workers. But what that nullifies is an ability to come to school for 6 or 7 hours. And I anticipate that being a major challenge if a remote approved option is forced on us and not used as an exception with a doctor's note, that is probably the single biggest issue I'm concerned about for September. We'll be safe. We'll be healthy. We'll have protocols. I'm worried about the remote option most of all, and I think it's high time that that decision is made.
Speaking of remote learning, right now with 2 weeks left in the school year, how many students do you still have using the remote option?
We have about close to 25% of our 7,000 students, which is quite high. Now, we can look at that positively, Joel, and we can say with that it's enabled us to have a lot more distancing because you take 25% of the student body out, and that's about 2,100 kids or so, and that gives us a lot more room in the schools. We'll finish strong with those students. The attendance and on-task learning rate for those students is nowhere near the rate of those students that have come into school. It's just a statement of fact. Our staff has tried, reached out, but the effect, the impact, and the way education was learned through that remote learning is nowhere near where it should be or could be. So we did the best we could, but now it's time to move away from that option.
All right, and one last thing. We saw a return to school sports. How did that work out this year? Were there any major issues, or was it flawless?
I would say it was close to flawless as possible. We had two teams take a 10-day pause, our swim team and our track team. Why? That was because one of the students, and only one, on a track team of 120 students that we have, and a swim team of about 20, unfortunately had COVID positive results. So we closed down for 10 days. There was no transmission. The protocols were followed. It was really great. And it's nice that we're still playing baseball and softball and track. And we're having these sports, lacrosse, we're having these sports continue. And I'd say we couldn't have asked for anything better. The seasons were compressed. The championships weren't held to the state level, which we wish we could have. But we got every sport in. Even our wrestlers, it's been flawless there. And you know what wrestling is like, flawless. We've been able to wrestle successfully. Every sport's been played at the varsity and JV level, and now we're into the modified level as well. So I couldn't ask for anything more from our coaches, our nursing staff, medical staff, teachers, and students. It's been a real pleasure in Niagara Falls.
Well, Mark, it was great catching up with you. I know when we get that guidance for next year, hopefully very soon, we'll have you back on the show, and enjoy the game today.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it. Take care, Joel.
Niagara Falls School Superintendent Mark Laurie joining us about what goes into effect statewide tomorrow. But as he said, it's a district-by-district thing, and he wants more guidance, and who can blame him? You know, you're trying to plan all these events, trying to have kids have somewhat of a normal school year, and you're trying to look to September and say, are we going to be able to do this? Can we go back full? You know, it'd be nice to have that guidance, but something that we talk about a lot here, Brian and I talk a lot about during the week, it's always just a little bit, right? Just so, hey, Governor Cuomo's going to have that press conference tomorrow. I wonder what he's going to let us do now. It's always one thing here, one thing there. Never just, you know, full communication. 3 months from now, this is what we're doing. Unless it's, you know, 2 months from now, we're still going to have only 50% at an outdoor event like the state fair. When we come back, we have Miles Carter. He is running for sheriff in the Democrat primary. He will be the first sheriff candidate we talk to here on Hardline on WBEN. I don't know about you, I think that
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Show's getting better every week. That's what I think. It is Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, I make comments about the liners. It doesn't really make any sense on the replays because the liner's not in the replay. But, you know, I digress. Joining me for the final segment here on Hardline is our first sheriff candidate to join us, and it's Miles Carter. Miles, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Miles. You're running for sheriff. What was your reasoning for getting into the race?
Well, I mean, it's clear we need much change at the Erie County Sheriff's Department, specifically in the jails, and then also diversity in the sheriff's patrol.
What do you think right now, looking at the current sheriff's department, what do you think is the main problem with this outgoing administration?
Well, I mean, there was over 32 deaths at the holding center. You're talking about over 400 cases of assault and sexual assault in the holding center. And then you have deputies that are sleeping on the job and collecting overtime for that. So I think that the number one biggest issue is the lack of accountability at the sheriff's department, which is why we've included Carroll's Law as our first point in our platform.
What do you think of the – we had Jeremy Zellner on at 10:30, and he was talking about the sheriff's race and the Democrat Party putting their endorsement behind Brian Gould before the primary. What are your thoughts on that?
Brian Gould just doesn't represent the change that we need. He's had his own case of police brutality against a black man while he was incarcerated at Cheektowaga Police. In addition to the fact that Cheektowaga does not represent the diversity, their police department doesn't represent the diversity that we need. They had zero black police officers in their department up until Brian Gould decided to run for sheriff.
Looking at the sheriff's race, looking at the primary, I'm sorry, for the sheriff's race, how's your campaign coming along, and where are you getting a lot of support? Do you have support within Buffalo police officers?
Yeah, there are actually a few Buffalo police officers that have shown support. Most of our support is coming from the black community, from the Muslim community, from Amherst, definitely, Tonawanda. We've got a lot of support out in Hamburg and Clarence, Grand Island. We have supporters all over the place. And today we're holding a barbecue, actually, at Lincoln Park in the town of Tonawanda at 299 Decatur in shelter number 5 from 12 to 3 and meet the candidate.
And Miles, going into that that primary, looking on the other side of the aisle, you have the Republican candidates for sheriff, Garcia and Haley, whose last name is escaping my mind right now. What are your thoughts on those candidates?
Well, my thought is that I'm running against all police officers, and essentially police officers are not representing the change that we need in the sheriff's department. So whether they be a Democrat or a Republican, there's some things that we know that Democrats and Republicans both agree on, right? And that's war, and that's mass incarceration. So I'm running against the same on all sides of the aisle, and we're running on a platform of real community change. So whether it be Karen Case or it be Kimberly Beatty or it be Brian Gould, they all represent the same system that needs to be changed immensely.
Looking at the Buffalo Police Department, you know, we've heard a lot of call for change, for reform within the Buffalo Police. Have you seen those moves being made? Would you like to see more when it comes to the Buffalo Police Department?
Well, I mean, we definitely need to see more when it comes to Buffalo Police Department. I mean, their idea of police reform last year was putting their policies and procedures on the website. when in actuality, what we needed them to do is actually prosecute in cases or you know, reprimand police officers in cases of police brutality. We need them to actually respond to calls where people are asking for assistance with respect to shootings. We need them to solve homicides. We need them to investigate missing persons. I mean, all of these things are going uninvestigated. You know, in the case of Tierra Lott, you know, she went missing. She was uninvestigated as a missing person for almost a week. And then it was 3 weeks later that her body was found next to the train tracks. So, you know, there's a lack of seriousness and investigation when it comes to real crimes that occur within the city. And that's really the reform that needs to be done at the Buffalo Police Department.
Looking at the Sheriff's Department and looking at this position, do you think there is something you can do as sheriff, communicating with elected political leaders and also communicating with the police staff around the county? If you get that position, would that be something you would do as sheriff, use that to get these reforms at every police group in Erie County?
100%. I mean, the Sheriff's Department, you know, under my administration, will be a beacon of change, you know, not just for Erie County, but for the nation. We're going to immediately implement Carroll's Law to ensure that there's accountability, for instance, of police brutality. We're going to halt solitary confinement because of the violation of the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution. It's cruel and unusual punishment. We're going to completely deprioritize marijuana. And then in the Erie County jails, we will have women deputies overseeing women inmates so that we can cut down on the amount of sexual assault and assault that's occurring in those jails. So, you know, we will not only communicate with them, but we'll lead the way in showing them how change should be reflected in the Sheriff's Department and throughout the police force within Erie County.
I'm also looking at your platform. You also have a mental health agenda that you're running on.
For sure, 100%. So mental health is a huge issue with respect to policing. We see time and time again that police brutality occurs in instances of people that are seeking mental health assistance or having a mental health episode. You know, part of the platform is to actually route 911 calls to mental health respondents in cases of mental health issues. Also focus on hiring mental health and behavioral health and drug addiction specialists in the Erie County jails, which is what's seriously lacking now. We have a starting salary of about $60,000 for our deputies in the jails. And I would like to start allocating those monies to hiring the right type of people so we can start fixing the problems for the people that are incarcerated.
You also speak of a new correctional facility. What is wrong with the current one, and what would you like to accomplish with the new one?
Well, we have Erie County Holding Center. We have the Erie County Correctional Facility. The Holding Center itself doesn't have the space or the capacity to house the programs that are needed for the inmates. And the one out in Alden is far removed from the community. So there is a demand from the community to at least close one of the jails because we're massively overspending in incarceration. Which jail, we're unsure of just at this time, and so we continue to work with the community and figure that out. But I ultimately believe that a new facility should be created. Both the facilities, the Erie County Jail and the Erie County Holding Center, were built in 1985, and it represents the style of policing and the style of incarceration from 1985. We need to be on a reformative style of incarceration, one that provides programs and green space so that we can actually work on rehabilitating people.
Miles, I'd like to ask you about an incident that happened during the week. We saw this at the new Tapo Pool Club. They came out with a dress code and it was deemed racist. Since then, they've taken it back. What are your thoughts on that dress code, and what do you think needs to be done to better understand those that were offended by it?
Well, I mean, it's clear that stores are not allowed to discriminate based on race, based on ethnicity, based on sexual orientation or sexual identity, right? So when they release a dress code that is so clearly biased against people that against Black people, you know, it's clear that it's discriminatory. You know, my thought is that you should not patronize those businesses that do not want your business. You know, as far as Black people are concerned, we should be patronizing places that are Black owned and supporting our own businesses to ensure that we're improving our own economy. So yes, I do believe that the dress code that they posted was discriminatory in style and nature, but I also believe that we should be patronizing our own businesses and ensuring that we're shopping Black owned so that we avoid those issues.
All right, Miles, how can we find your campaign? How can we get out on if we're looking for more information? You mentioned you do have a fundraiser today. What's your website so we can get some more information?
Yeah, my website is www.milescarter.com, and that's M-Y-L-E-S, carter.com. And today we're at 299 Decatur in the town of Tonawanda at Lincoln Park, shelter number 5, and we're having a barbecue. Come meet the candidate. And you can also donate through my website as well.
All right. Anything you wanted to address before we let you go today?
No, I really just want to stress the importance of voting. We have the primary coming up. Early voting is from the 12th to the 20th for the Democratic primary, and then the actual primary day is on the 22nd. During early voting, you can vote at any polling place in Erie County. If you wait until primary day, it has to be at your actual polling place.
Miles, good talking with you. Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
All right, I appreciate you. Have a good one.
Thanks, you too. That is Miles Carter. He is running for sheriff. He was the first to get back to me to come on the show today. Like I said, originally I was planning to have an all-sheriff roundtable. Well, not really a roundtable, but all four guests today were supposed to be sheriffs and then another four next week. But I only heard back from two, both Democrats. Miles was the first to get back to me. And as I mentioned, Brian Gould got back to me. He will be joining us next week at 10:06. Hopefully, and I know I've mentioned this three times, hopefully the word gets out. Hopefully we have the other candidates get back to me this week and we can have all the sheriff candidates on. But I do thank Miles for being the first to respond and for giving us some time this Sunday morning. Again, one of those important primaries coming up in just a few weeks. As you heard Jeremy Zellner say, the early voting is starting Saturday. So it's right around the corner. And you always hear about low turnouts for primaries. But I will tell you this, if you are part of a party that is having primaries, go and you feel strong about one candidate. You feel strongly about one candidate's positioning. You think they have the better chance to get your party in that seat. Well, I would urge you to go take advantage of either the early voting or go on election day. Now, you know my opinion. I said last hour I wasn't going to give my opinion because that's more for the weekday show. And I try to not be as opinionated on Hardline. But I've always felt about early voting. If you can get there on election day, you know, get there on election day. However, last year I did vote early, and the reason I voted early was because I was going out of town over the weekend and I did not want to either come in contact with someone who was COVID positive or test positive for COVID and not be able to go and cast my vote. And that is why last year I went out, I stood in line, and I took part in the early voting process. And you can do that too, like I said, starting Saturday for the primaries. If you missed any of the show today, we had Angelo Morinello on as our first guest, Jeremy Zellner, Mark Lurie, Miles Carter just joined us. And like I said, starting next week, Brian Gould will be our first guest at 10:06. Hopefully we will have the remaining sheriff candidates then. They have all been invited, and hopefully we can talk with them and get a view of what the primaries look like on both sides of the political aisle when it comes to that sheriff's race. We have just a few more minutes left here on Hardline. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back on WBEN. Welcome back. It is Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Joe Beamer with you for just a few more minutes. I want to thank my guests who joined me today. Assemblyman Angelo Morinello, Erie County Democratic Chair Jeremy Zellner, Niagara Falls Superintendent, Niagara Falls Schools Superintendent Mark Lurie, and Miles Carter, who is running for sheriff. As I mentioned, next week, Brian Gould. Gould will be joining us at 10:06, and hopefully the rest of the field when it comes to the primaries, which early voting starts on Saturday. Now, at the end of the 10 o'clock segment, we played a tape from Tom Puckett talking about the Facebook ban of former President Donald Trump. Right now, I want to go back to Friday and replay an interview with Susan Rosehad with Brad Garrett about these cyber hacks we keep seeing around the country. You know, we saw it locally here in the Buffalo School District. We saw it with the oil refinery, and now we've seen it with a meat packing plant. So all of these things that are slowing down the way we get materials all over cyber hacks. And what could happen next? What could be the next place, the next business? Could it be the government that gets hacked? Brad Garrett sat down with Susan Rose and talked about it.
Crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett is joining me this morning. Ransomware attacks are happening more and more frequently. In the last few weeks, Colonial Pipeline, JBS Meats, New York City's MTA, the Massachusetts Steamship Authority, and there's more. the goal, Brad, appears to be disrupting daily lives in this country.
Yeah, and I think ultimately, Susan, the goal is money. If you keep in mind that the group that it appears most of these are focused on, the group in particular, the dark side, as it's been called, operates out of Russia or one of the Russian republics, has gotten really good at ransomware, is in a country where it's allowed to sort of run whatever direction it wants to run in the cybercrime world. And if you combine that with using cryptocurrency or cyber currency that is difficult to track, then you've got the ideal combination of a government letting you do it, a way that we can't really track the money or see where it ultimately goes to, and something that we can't fix in the short term. I mean, none of those are good answers of what I just mentioned.
Does it appear, though, that companies are paying the ransom to unlock their data?
It seems that way to me. I mean, some have publicly said it. My sense, Susan, is that this happens a lot every day in this country. I mean, a lot. And we don't know about it because they pay the ransom because you're stuck. If you're a hospital, a police department, a local government, or even a state government agency, and you don't have a backup system, which I realize can get complicated if you're a big agency or company, then you don't have any fallback. Then your data's locked. I mean, and there is no way to unlock it in reality without them giving you the decryption key. And so as a result, they pay it. And typically, cyber criminals will figure out roughly what you can pay. In other words, they're not going to hack into a small police department in the state of New York and ask for $5 million. They're probably going to ask for $10,000 or something like that, knowing that they could come up with that kind of cash. And we don't really have a way of stopping it. I mean, some companies, some agencies have better cybersecurity than others, but it's really a patchwork of who's sort of ahead of the game on security, others not. And if you're a hacker, you just start hitting away until you're able to break in someplace.
You know, thinking specifically about power companies and other utilities too, but really about the power grid. How prepared or ill-prepared are they? I mean, that would be crippling.
I think ill-prepared, generally speaking. Some of them probably are better than others. There is some belief, and that's not the key word is belief, that some of the systems have already been penetrated, not so much to hack, but to shut down, and that it's sort of like a sleeper cell, for lack of better terms. They're just hanging out in the system, and if needed to be called upon, could be. So if you think about how bad this could get, you should even think maybe a step beyond that. You get beyond the criminals and the ransomware hackers, if you will, then what about state-sponsored government that would be probably more behind shutting down a power grid, not for money, but just to be able to shut it down?
You know, we are a cashless society to a large degree, and because of what's been happening here, and this is mainly affecting, computers and transactions, credit card, things like that, should people have more cash than they normally carry?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think you have to separate how we pay with plastic, basically, for things, and the whole cybersecurity or the cryptocurrency system. There is an entirely separate, it's virtual currency. There is no hard money exchange until you get to the final end. But the way it is done, it's almost impossible to track. And then the guy or group in Russia or a Russian Republic or Romania or some country that's sympathetic lets these guys do whatever they want, basically, in the cyber criminal world, and they get their money at that point. And I don't know. There is literally nothing I can think of that we could do in the short term because these countries, we can't hold them accountable. I will tell you, Susan, the belief is, if Russia started getting tons of ransomware attacks, they'd probably stop here.
And that is Brad Garrett with Susan Rose. If you want to hear that in its entirety, you can find it at WBEN.com or on the Odyssey app. Again, I would like to thank my guest this morning, Assemblyman Angelo Marinello, Democrat, Erie County Democrat Chair Jeremy Zellner, Niagara Falls Superintendent Mark Laurie, and Miles Carter, who is running for sheriff. Meet the Press is next on WBEN Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.